One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. And every week we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature. We're at the Miami Book Festival, having a great time with authors and fans and readers. We have a very interesting guest today, Amanda Yates Garcia, who is a writer, artist, professional witch in the Oracle of Los Angeles. Her work has been featured in The Millions, The LA Times, Time Out, LA Weekly, Glamour, London Times. She has a double MFA degree in writing and critical theory and film video. She leads classes and workshops on magic and witchcraft in many different places. And she's co-host of the popular Strange Magic podcast. And her book is Initiated. Welcome, Amanda, to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
So this is very interesting. Now, you were raised by a witch family. What was that like?
I mean, it was great. It was a really... activism was a really big part of that. Activism is a big part of witchcraft. And so, you know, my mother raised me to be in connection with the cycles of the seasons and the cycles of the earth and to connect to different deities, specifically goddesses, and to work in community. And so I feel really lucky to have that as part of my upbringing.
Now, can males be part of this, or is it just a woman thing, the witch?
No, men can absolutely be witches. I mean, most of the people that I know are... women or feminine identifying people, but anybody can be a witch.
Okay. Now, you have a term called reclaiming. You said declaring oneself a witch and practicing magic is claiming authority and power for yourself. So what does it mean to reclaim?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you asked that, because basically the tradition of witchcraft that I come from is the reclaiming tradition, which is a West Coast tradition of witchcraft made most famous perhaps by the witch Starhawk. But the name of the tradition is actually called reclaiming, and really what it's about is reclaiming authority and power for yourself when our entire civilization is kind of designed to have us give our authority to other people or give our power away. And so it's really about reclaiming that, but also facilitating the reclaiming of the earth for itself, because witches really work in service of the planet.
Interesting. Okay, so it's a positive kind of thing you're talking about.
I would say
helping
so.
People.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about a memoir, Initiated Memoir of a Witch, descending into underworlds of poverty, sex work, and misogyny.
Yeah.
So what happened? Did you get involved in those things?
I did. I mean, I had a... Despite the fact that I was... privileged to grow up in such a spiritual and beautiful way, I also had a lot of trauma in my early life, for a lot of adversity and a family legacies of that. I think a lot of people struggle with in our culture, but so I did. I was extremely broke and struggling with a lot of challenges emotionally when I was younger, and ended up working in the sex industry and kind of had to fight my way out of it, because it's really...
Is it the adult film industry or just as something else?
Yeah, I mean, I did a bunch of different things. I never worked in the adult film industry, no.
Okay. So what did you find in that industry? That was there a lot of negativity in it? Was there any positivity?
For me, it was very painful. I mean... Most people who get involved, I can't speak for everyone, and I'm, you know, definitely always on work in support of sex workers, because it's a very challenging profession and is not given a lot of respect in our culture, despite the fact that so many people use the services of sex workers. They're still subject to a lot of violence and abuse. But yeah, so I was really young. I wasn't equipped to deal with the complexities of people's, like, sexual projections.
What was your turning point, like, from sex to spirituality at that point? How did you get into the...
I don't know that sex work was about sex for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't about sex. It was about...
Money.
Money.
Okay.
So it
money,
was about maybe about sex for other people, but okay. It wasn't about that.
But from that
me.
Industry to spirituality, I mean, was there a turning point? I can't take it anymore, or how did you want to get out of it?
Well, I tried really hard to get out of it for a long time, but I couldn't, because, you know, you the kind of money that I could make while doing that, like, I tried really hard to do other jobs, but at the time, right. I was just so, I was basically in the midst of a pretty major nervous breakdown, and so, like, I just couldn't handle, like, working 40-hour work weeks and, you know, working in offices and you know, even I tried waitressing and everything, and I couldn't pull myself out of it, and so it took me a really long time just kind of clawing my way up, basically.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But then you became a modern day witch, use bells, candles, incense,
yeah, I do.
And other things. So tell us about that. Like you mentioned divination or healing and spells. So yeah. How do those work?
Well, I mean, that's a very complicated question, but essentially what you're doing is you're using the power of ritual and the imagination and practical forms of action in order to shift reality according to your will. And you're doing that by essentially taking what is in your mind or what you're imagining, the things you're conceiving of, and finding ways to bring them into material reality and make them real. But there's a lot of work that goes into that, so it's not something that you can really sort of explain in, like, you know, a 30-second elevator
sure,
pitch,
course,
but that's about the best okay. I can do there, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, divination, I'm thinking of seeing, is it the future or something, or intuition? Because you say you don't really see people's futures.
Yeah.
Do you help them tap into their intuition?
Yeah, I mean, my focus is not primarily on telling people what will happen to them. It's about co-creating what will happen to them.
Okay.
Because we're not at the mercy of fate. You know, a witch is someone who has agency, who takes power into her own hands. So she's not just sitting around waiting for fate to deal her a hand, but instead
yes.
she's like taking a more active role in participating in her own life. And so if I were just to say, oh, well, you can, you know, rest assured because in 3 months this thing is going to happen to you. I mean, most of the time when people go to psychics or whatever, they're kind of assuming that what's going to happen to them is something good. But that's
yes.
not, I mean,
right.
that's not always necessarily true.
Well, it's true. And I think you said that if people ask you, when am I going to die, you're not
right.
gonna, you don't want to tell them that.
No. What purpose would that serve?
It's pretty negative. But there's a movie came out. You hear about the app that tells you where you're going to die?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting movie. And then, you know, people die, you know, based on that app.
Yeah.
Would you download that app if you wanted to or not?
If I knew that an app could tell me exactly when I was going to die, would I do that?
Yeah, is that good or bad?
No, I mean, I don't think I would want to know that.
Right. I don't think most people would, probably, right?
Yeah.
Too much, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why we don't know. There's
right.
a reason why we don't know our past lives, and there's a reason
right.
why we can't see into the future.
Right. Right.
But the thing is that I think what Spirit is calling for from us is to become the most fully realized and empowered versions of ourselves that is possible. And if we know that something is inevitable, then we don't take action. And that's, for instance, why we don't take action about climate change, because we're afraid that, you know, we're just sort of sitting ducks and it's an inevitability that the water will rise around us, and so we do nothing about it. But if we felt more power and agency, then we'd be more likely to rise up and stand up to the governments of the world and make it so that we weren't at their mercy.
Okay. And at Love University, we also talk about, you know, love could be romantic, could be spiritual, could be different things. But people may ask you, does someone love me?
Mm-hmm.
But you say you don't like to answer that. You say, how do you attract love?
Yeah.
Why do you rephrase it in that way?
Well, you know, again, it's like down to one of those things. Like, we of course, we hope, like, if we ask, like, does X love me? You know, if X does, then great. But if X doesn't, then what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, and also the thing is, like, if we're trying to call in the love of a specific person, that might be against their will. Like, there's a reason why you're not together. If they wanted to be with you, they would.
Okay.
And so I certainly would not, you know, people might call me up and be like, oh, I have a coworker and I've asked her out a bunch of times and she says no and I want you to help put a love spell on me. But it's like, well, she said no. So I'm not going to make her
okay.
change her mind, you know. But instead we can call in the love that we really want by opening it up to someone who is there and who is available to us and who does really want to participate in.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, I guess there are maybe stereotypes or misconceptions. You hear the word witch, people think of like black magic or something,
yeah.
or voodoo,
yeah.
Or white magic, you know, maybe helping people.
Yeah.
How do you respond to those things?
I mean, there's a lot of misperceptions about witchcraft, and those misperceptions were created by people who do not appreciate or celebrate witches. You know, those certainly weren't like
right.
witches writing that about themselves.
Right, right.
And
these are burn witches, right? Back in the Salem times.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so in the period of the Salem witch trials, you know, really that was, those trials were held for political reasons, essentially to gain the women's land after their husbands had died and
oh.
things like that. And so then they called them witches so that they could appropriate their land.
Right. So what would be a positive thing you could help people as a witch? Let's say get a better job, find love, better luck. Is there anything that you can help them with?
Yeah, I mean, those are all things that I think witchcraft can help you do. But really, it's about helping you fall in love with your life and feel like you have a more you know, a sense of meaning and a sense of purpose and a sense of strength and agency. And so it's not just about, you know, getting a better job, although it can really help you do that, but it's just about gaining a deeper sense of intimacy and connection with the world around you.
Now, what kind of romantic relationships can a witch have? Are you guys able to have marriages and families?
Sure, a lot of witches do. I mean, I'm really focused on my work. My work is like to essentially serve as a priestess, and so most of the time I'm really just focusing on that, and it takes a lot of my time and attention. But I know a lot of witches who are in, you know, stable long-term relationships, and I've certainly been in them, but right now I'm really prioritizing, you know, the service that I'm doing for the world.
How about the role of intuition now? You said you help people reclaim their intuition.
Yeah.
Let's give us some tips to our listeners. How can they do that starting today? Let's say they've made the wrong choices in a relationship, they didn't trust their gut.
Yeah.
In life, in their careers, or whatever. How do we reclaim our intuition?
Yeah, well, so one thing that you're going to want to do is really, sit at your altar, light a candle, place your hands on your heart, breathe into your heart, and truly listen. You know, we often just don't get quiet enough. Our intuition tends to speak in a really quiet voice. The voice of anxiety, the voice of stress, the voice of fear really yells, and it speaks really loudly. And so unless you get really quiet and really take the time to listen to your intuition and get to know what that voice sounds like and feels like, and you'll know it's the voice of your intuition because it will give you a sense of peace and clarity and groundedness. So that would be, you know, like a really easy first step would just be to sit, you know, in a comfortable position, place your hands on your heart.
Yeah, I like that idea. So what does that do? Place your heart and hands on your heart.
Well, it connects you literally with your heart.
Okay.
Right? So like your heart, you know, it's our intuition comes through listening to our hearts.
Yes.
And our heart is the source of our power, you know, which comes through love, which comes through connection, comes through eros.
Love University, right?
Love University.
So
that's
what we're doing.
Where power comes from.
I like that. So Amanda, it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
It's been my pleasure.
Where can people hear more about you? Website? Do you have trainings or books or things?
Yeah, they should go to my website at www.oracleoflosangeles.com. They can follow me on Instagram at Oracle of LA, or they can listen to my podcast, Strange Magic.
Perfect. We'd love to have you on again, and I think you're LA-based as well.
Okay, yeah.
We'll get together sometime.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you much for coming. So, Love University students, if you have any questions, you can email us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com, 310-226-8090. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. Like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @LoveUPodcast. Until next time, Love University students, put away your notepads, your books, your iPads, and this is Dr. Alex Avila.